how much of our thanksgiving is in reward in regard to these things? And how much of our thanksgiving in regard to the spiritual blessing which we will come into? So the Reubenite and the Gadite and the half of the tribe of Manasseh are some who are true believers, they love the Lord Jesus. But they are so taken up with earth, with material things. They enjoy them, they love them, but that's all they have. The spiritual things that is for somebody else, for other brothers, but not for me. I just want to accumulate and enjoy as much as I can. That is the wrong way, because there's consequences. Just like there is consequences for Og and Sihon, there's consequences for those Reubenite, Gadite, and half of the tribe of Manasseh. They were the first one to take into captivity. They were the first one. They said they want this land, and they were the first one to lose it. They were the one who built an altar to show off that we are Christian, we are part of the people of God. But there was no real enjoyment. They were so attached. They were so attracted. Everything, their life was circled about material things. How much money I could make. How bigger car I could get. Or faster, or whatever. Whatever. And every one of us have whatever click with him. Satan knows that very well. So whatever might work for you might not work for me. But he knows. But we're talking about material things. So we should not take it in the spirit of Og and Sihon. We should fight that spirit. We also need to be careful of the spirit of Reuben, Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh, that we say, we're saved, we're going to heaven, but you know what? I'm going to live like I'm an earth dweller. I'm not a pilgrim. I'm really dwelling in here and enjoying. And that would lead on to covetousness and to idolatry. The third and the proper way is, if you look at what God's purpose for his people, and you read that in Ezekiel 48. In the millennium, God will give his people a portion in the land of Canaan, and also on the other side of the Jordan. They will have, if you look at the map, I think Mr. Darby have it in the back of his Bible, some of it have it. If you look at the millennium, how the tribes are having the land, they are not having it, this is the Jordan here, they are not having it just this way, and some on that way, they having it this way. So you have a portion on the east side of the Jordan, and you have a bigger portion in the land of Canaan. So this is a proper way of taking things in. We're going to use material things. We have to eat. We have to work. We have to study. We have to have a job. We have to have a car. We have to have a roof over our head. All of these things, there's nothing wrong with them. But this is just a little portion. The bigger portion ought to be the spiritual blessing that we have. If we don't have it this way, we will end up either by the influence of Og, or a Sihon, or being like the Reubenite, and we really lose sense of what God have for us. Now, we're going to move to what we have in Romans and what we have in 2 Corinthians. Because after all, the Apostle Paul again in 2 Corinthians used that very same mindset. I mentioned one of them before. In chapter 5, he speaks about that taking somebody to law. In chapter 8, he speaks about food. He said, listen, the earth is the Lord, and everything that's in it, it's a millennium song. And what he's saying is this, I could eat anything, but you know what? I'm going to exercise discipline, because it doesn't really matter. I am walking through. We need to understand that's really the spirit. We need to inherit our material things. Thank God for them. Take them as pilgrims, realizing that you are passing through with the land in your heart as you are going to go in there. But we are not left alone. We are giving armors. And maybe we should look, unless somebody have further comments on that type that we have in the Old Testament, to look at the armor of life in Romans chapter 13.
Can I say one word about the millennium? Has been mentioned a few times. The millennium is called the world to come. And what you do for the Lord Jesus while you're here determines your place in the world to come. Not heaven. The blood of Christ takes everyone to heaven. They're equal. But in the world to come, there'd be differences. Some may reign over 10 cities. Some may reign over 5 cities. But the glorious thing that we're waiting for is really, it's a rapture, of course, but it's the world to come. Not this world, but the world to come. And how wonderful that is. With the Lord Jesus. Not Moses, not Elijah, not the angels. The Lord Jesus rules in the world to come. And we are co-heirs and joint heirs with Christ. And we too will reign in the world to come. But what you do for Christ down here unselfishly, without any ulterior motive, determines your place in the world to come. That's all I have to say.
in regard to the king of the king of Basan, if brethren could little expand the thought, as I have two scriptures came into my mind from the book of Gospel of Luke chapter 12, verse 13 to 21. And it says, and one of the companions said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, Where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, So thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thee thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God?
So you might say, if there are lessons that we can learn from these two aspects of it, it's from Sihon and Gog, is that flesh and indulgence will hinder me from Christ and his rights. But if we take it up from the tribes that wanted to stay there, they expressed desire, they loved the brethren, right? Because they were willing to fight with them and for them. But I think one thing that we lose sight, that spirit will take away the hope of him. It's a dangerous spirit, because when we come to Romans that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And brethren, I wonder how many times or how many of us might be in that spirit. Like, you know what, we are living in a dangerous times when even the gospel that is presented is the gospel of prosperity. It's all what God gives you and all what you can do, and God's going to multiply it 100 times. Everything about possession is being preached day in and day out. And the danger remains that something like this will take hold upon my soul. Deep inside, let's face it, brethren, let's be very practical. I wonder how many of us can mean it, Lord Jesus, come. I really, how many of us can be? We're so comfortable. We're living in the land of the plenty. Yes, there are issues, but trust me, it's the land of the plenty when it's compared to other regions in the world. We have so much, and many of us become so comfortable that, Lord, if you want to delay your coming another 50 years until I get older, that's fine with me. Deep inside, we'll live it out this way. Brethren, let's take our hopes from these things that really will entangle our hearts, because we're so much possessed with this mentality that earth is my home. And just let us be in the good of that the Lord is coming. And until he comes, having him as our object, the scripture tells us the night is far spent. So maybe the brethren could help us, because really we still have 20 minutes to cover these two aspects.